Test. Okay, thank you. So it's quarter after, we will start. There's only five people in the room. Let's hope that everybody will have the opportunity to watch this online. It's being streamed and otherwise. This lecture has been defined as a buffer. So what I will be doing is going through the material and preparing for the exam. Of course, there's been questions on the assignments. When will we get feedback on the assignments? The assignments were pass-fail, and I did a cursory read, and everybody passed. That was about the exercise. As I say, if I read the assignments, if you answered the same way in your final exam, you'd be getting a C to a D. But that was understandable. It was a group exercise. You really didn't know what was going on, and the exercise was more just to get an experience of how you deal with individuals that are developing a process. And I will comment on things specifically. What I found specifically in some is that they were vague. So they say, okay, there's an ethical problem, they should have an ethical policy. Okay. I understand that. You have to be a bit more specific. What most of you did is you did follow the template, which is good. And I just want you to go in more detail in the template. In many cases, there can be that you have to understand why this is called social technical risk analysis. They can be an ethical problem. You can solve it. And then you have to take the risk. And that's the general gist of this, to understand that you cannot solve all problems, but you have to be aware of as many problems as possible and inform the people in charge about them. As I say, the purpose of this course is to get you to think independently. That's why I'm underlining this. So it's not as if I stand here and if you follow all the lectures that you will get an A in the course. If you can repeat exactly what I said, at most you will get a C. Your job is to think independently. And then the material too. As I say, the material I presented, and if you can repeat that material, again, it's a C. But then how do you get the B and the A? We get it through that today. Some administrative issues. So you have the choice of doing a white hat or black hat exercise on the service. So what is a black hat exercise? It's when you're designing and doing a social technical analysis for individuals that have intentions of making money, not necessarily being illegal. I mean, the best thing to do in certain times of attack is to attack the system legally. The other one is a white hat exercise, and this is more like a risk analysis. So you're doing analysis and you're saying to the owners, if you have this service, this is the possibility, these are the risk, and it can cost you this much. The black hat, of course, is how much profit you can make because you're taking a risk there. So what do I expect? There's some examples of black hat and white hat in the of last year's one. So I give you some good examples. What I expect, too, is that you have the internet at your disposal. This is independent studies. Many of these services, in reality, are not new. How have attacks been done in the past? So you don't have to go out and reinvent the wheel when it comes to breaking certain types of web services. Okay? And that's what I expect too. So I expect you to find those past attacks that worked. And use a bit of creativity in terms of statistics. I'm not asking you to do a very meticulous understanding, but for example, you can give some statistics on So one of the students handed in the assignment and said that 9 out of 10 IT startups fail. That's a statistic. Interesting enough, they didn't reference it. I won't, you know, on your exam, I don't expect you to reference it. But in your assignments, I expect you to reference it. So if you say that 9 out of 10, statistically, 9 out of 10 IT startups eventually fail because of various reasons, including security ones. Right? Is that a fact? An opinion? That's the science of this, right? And if you can start, you can start off more generally that many fail. You can get it, but when you start using facts like 9 out of 10, we expect you to have references. The date is the 15th of June at 23:59. 5 to 8 pages, not longer. I suggest if you can, if you want to use diagrams, if you look on some of the publications that you have in the references, I give examples of how you do this type of analysis. You visualize the results. And here's an example. In many cases, we talked about using the so-called stack. And I simplified it again. I talk about humanware, software, and hardware. So this is one way of looking at the different risk and also security controls and the different levels. Or you can use a signaling diagram where you're showing that there is communication between the different ones. So the user logs on, gets a token from the OS. The OS logs on to the user, gets the API, and gets information. Attack can occur here. Describe the attack. Okay. And you can see you can use the same thing here, is that if I started off, I can talk about this section here being, you have the user, you have the system administrator. Here we have the OS. This one is describing how the user identifies themselves to the system administrator. In this case, maybe they use an ID here, a physical ID. What do they get back? You go to a bank, show your ID, what do you get back nowadays? Confirmation. In many cases, though, we're talking about the first thing, you get back often a machine. Machine to do what? One-time login, right? For example, now when I register a bank here, they sent it by system administrator here. In terms of humanware now, this is why we're talking social technical. What's the procedural thing about getting your bank? Should you send the coder and the password at the same time? I've done this with 3 banks in Norway. They all sent them at the same time. Open up my mailbox. There's the coder, and there's the password. Why? They invested so much in all this other type of security. Has anybody experienced that here in Norway with the banks? When you got your coder, you have the code machine and the password? Did they come in the same time in the same mailbox? Good.
I didn't. I'm just saying, this is something that you have to look at. Now, it can be in these services, they don't copy that, right? So how, going back to the human way and the procedures, how is this done? That's part of it, right? And it's social technical in the sense that this thing is working because there's some sort of functionality in the... In many cases, the browser, in terms of etc., right? You log in. Or in this case, in many cases, when it came to this, it was the JavaScript. That was insecure. So this was secure, this was secure, this was insecure. Okay? So the idea with... And that's an example. So you can have it this way or this way, which is good in a sense because often you see how the protocols and the social and the technical hang together. As I said before, this was secure. You guys said it was secure. I had to pick it up from my bank. This was secure. That was insecure. Any questions on the assignment? You'll be getting feedback on the weekend. And what I would like you to answer back is if you're going to do a black or white hat exercise. It's just sort of a to get you going. Hopefully this is being recorded. We have tested it. We have someone looking at it now. Thanks to the SAS strike, I'm going to be here on Saturday. But it's not striking anymore, so that's fine. So I can have Skype time if anybody wants to have Skype time on Saturday to discuss. Or on Sunday, the 24th, or on Sunday, the 31st. Or the 7th, or the 14th, or the 17th. Right. So mainly for those online, the ones here, you can also book time. Or we can arrange a Skype session on request. And I'm open to any types of questions. And usually I try and keep it to a 15-minute slot for these other times. All right, this review here now. This diagram is trying to lay out, moving from left to right, how the different lectures were organized. What I want to do in this review lecture is go through them. So we start off with some theory about this, but I will change this after the break. Lecture one. How many here want me to do a quick review of lecture one? Okay. So it appears that everybody wants. I will be jumping back to the slides and jumping through them quickly then. And then pointing out what is the salient features. And then lecture two and lecture three. As I say, this is a master's course and it's a reflection course. And I want you to reflect on this issue about modeling. Why do we have to use a social technical model? What are the strengths and weaknesses with social technical modeling? Can anyone give me an explanation? Why not just do a technical model? Why not just do a social model? Okay, so the model is matching. So we have the real world. And in that, we have social systems, we have technical systems, What else do we have in the real world? Why we're here in this course? It's important to think all the time when you're doing social technical controls. Is you have people that have malintent. In economic systems, you have the free riders, the joy riders, and you have the naive. So you have people that are just naive, they're not bad. So understand that is that in order to understand why computer systems need to be secure and what risk we are taking, we have to have something. And we had a special term for this that we used from the NSA model. We call these guys threat agents. Right? Now, one of the gists of this, and that's why I've introduced this course, is that scientifically we need a new paradigm. Now, some of you in the master's course have taken, most of you should have taken the introduction to methodology course, right? The first term. What is the paradigm? Any ideas? You're supposed to be master students. You should be knowing what a paradigm is. It's a model of some form of reality. It's a way of looking at reality. Most of the science, and in the history of science, we've had many different paradigm crises. Now, a paradigm crisis is when the science of the day cannot explain certain events. So in the history of science, there's a guy named Coombe that did a study, and he talks about normal science. And normal science is designed to maintain a theory. So we have a theory that information security science is about better engineering. So it's more about natural science. So if we can just find the right model, the right crypto algorithm, the right procedure, we will have a system that is secure enough. And what we have is we have different forms of sciences. We have science to deal with probabilistic systems and science to deal with deterministic systems. What is the difference between probabilistic and deterministic systems? Is a computer a deterministic system? Why no? So that makes it, and humans have a tendency to make errors probabilistically. So you see the graph here is on the bottom here, we have a deterministic system, which can be defined in terms of an algorithm. Given A plus B plus C, we get X. And we have the P1, P2, P3, and the result should always be some variation on P. However, when we're dealing with human systems or social systems, we have different distributions of behavior. So, is information security best served by natural science, or is it best served by social sciences? And the answer is, It is best served by a concept called artificial science. In the 1960s, Herbert Simon, a pioneer in computing and mathematics, suggested that computer science is an artificial science. That is, we create a reality and then we measure it. And it's not necessarily correct to only use to consider a computer system both probabilistically and deterministically. We have to use both. And the skill is when to use both and how to use both. This graph I have here in social science, can anybody, somebody else, can you explain why the graph's looking like that? What do I mean by a probabilistic and that it's skewed? Distribution, right? And who defined, yeah, great. So why do we model? Why? I gave you a list of those things. This is a thinking thing now. Why do we model? Why am I using this graph? We had five different levels. Ultimately, what do we want to do in a security system? We want to predict whether the system's secure or insecure. So we model to predict. We model to, but if we don't understand something, can we predict it? No. So we have to model to understand it. Can we predict human behavior to some degree of? But what we often say in terms of one can predict correctly in a deterministic system, but in a probabilistic system we can influence. Now, we had this exercise where you had to deal with people designing their products to do something. And your job was to explain. Okay. So we model something to explain it, to understand it, to predict, to control it, to influence it. So the scope of this course, if we look at social science versus natural science, the scope of this course was here. Now talking this business of what is a paradigm. So what is the major paradigm in computer science? What are some of the major paradigms and problems in information systems? Can it someone, this is a task I didn't give you here now, but can you explain what a computer is? What's a computer? You have to model it. give me a model of a computer. You guys are supposed to be modeling computer security, but you have to model the computer first before you can model computer security. Okay, so you did this one, good. What else are you missing in terms of the software and the hardware? What's in a computer? What are the two things that you have within computer memory? Simple. Process is interesting, good. You had memory. You can select whatever you want, right? And you said a processor. Let's take it a bit higher level of abstraction. How do you describe what's in a computer? Let's take it really low. What do we have? At one level of abstractions, we have zeros and ones. Level one. This was the concrete system. Remember I said when we're describing a system, we have abstract systems, concrete systems, and living systems. What's the next level of abstraction? A computer has logic and data. Right? A computer is a machine that automatically processes zeros and ones using logic and data. What is logic in a computer? Right, good. You can have that as an action decision. Good. You're describing a system now as being a thing or an action. And I can attack the system in information security. So in information security, the primary goal is at level one to protect zeros and ones. At the next level of abstraction is to protect logic and data. At the next level, what do we have above data? It's to protect information. That's why it's called information security. We didn't call it computer security. This is a course in information. You're getting a master's in information security. What is the difference between data and information? Correct. Context. And if you're going to attack a system, you change the context that information is used in. You have a context of, at one level, you have a context of a secure state and an insecure state. So we have these two, we have this information here. What's at the other level? Do we get from data to information? We said we'd use a context. At the humanware, how do we define context? We use procedures. So, and when does information actually occur? Does a computer system store data or does it store information? The fact is, it's not information until it's put in a context. And what is the context? It's a social thing. Right? So why do we have to do social technical modeling? Because computers are used in a context, and that context can be corrupted. So there's a picture here. This is from Coombs' article on paradigm crisis in science. And it said that there's, you get to a situation where the science of the day cannot define the problem. Is that a duck or is that a rabbit? How many people here see a duck? And how many people see also a rabbit? A seagull, yes it does. Still. Or a bird. It looks like, yeah. You say a bird or a rabbit, I guess you would say. So we've been looking at the information security problem for a long time, and we've been calling it a duck. But it's also a rabbit. This diagram here, animated slide, is trying to represent what happened in the 15th century when they had a hard time trying to predict and understand and explain why Mars, a planet, doesn't follow circular motions. If you look at the sky, Mars, when it's moving around, goes this way, then it goes back. You have something called retrograde motion. So the whole community, all the scientists, a lot of doctoral students, a lot of mathematicians were trying to explain to the world how Mars produced this retrograde motion. They had the wrong model. They thought that the Earth was the center of the universe or the solar system. It wasn't true, but they spent a lot of scientific energy trying to prove that. Basically, you're in the same situation now. So what did I do as a scientist about 20 years ago? I went out and I said to myself, okay, is technology the center of the information security problem? I saw that every time we develop new technology, we have less control over it. And that technical controls couldn't keep up. I also saw when I went out and I tried to measure using the model why crimes occurred. In this case, 42 cases, I found that most of the time they had bad social controls. They didn't have bad technical controls. So basically what I'm proposing and why you took this course is that we have technology and we have the social system. Should it be this way? Is it technology moves around the social control system, or should it be technology, the social system moving around the control? It seems to me that if you want to deal with the fact that we have insufficient information security systems, we don't need a new science. We need a new paradigm. But there are those, like the NSA, that are spending quite large sums of money, and this is an illustration to talk about the new science, the science of security. So if those have the time, they can start reading about it. I've included one of the articles about the science of security, and it's done by Laplet. So these are the top security labs of the United States. And they produced an article, and they talk about the problem of modeling. So this is hard to read, and I don't expect you to read it here. You can read it later at your own leisure. But it's talking about what we need to model to deal with it, and how do you validate a model, and how do you... So they're trying to figure out whether they have modeled the universe correctly, whether technology is at the center of the information security problem. Is the Earth the center, or is the Sun the center? And to do that, they have to perform different types of modeling. And to model, you have to be able to jump from the concrete to the abstract. This reality here is too complex. So in this course, we are teaching you how to do social technical modeling. Not because we think it's a good intellectual activity, etc., but because we believe that we need a new paradigm. So you are going to have to figure out what the paradigm should be. Should we have a bi-solar solar system? Do we have two suns, technology and social systems? Do we have one sun? So we go back to this whole business of modeling. Now, in the course, we've shown you different ways of modeling. This is a model that you would be tested on, because I think it's a good conceptual model. What is the relationship between threats, vulnerabilities, threat agents, assets, owners, countermeasures? These things should be in your head regardless of what you're doing. If you're doing technical approach, social approach, management, forensics, whatever, the threat models is the same. One of the things that's interesting about this diagram is that the owner imposes countermeasures that may possess vulnerabilities. So every time that you put in one technical solution, you can be creating two problems because they have vulnerabilities in them. And it's your job to be able to know some of these vulnerabilities and to understand the risk related to that. So I asked this question last class. I'm just asking it again. Can you compare and contrast these two models? Now, some of you have, all of you have done the assignment. And it would be an interesting exercise to take your assignments and model them into the model on the left. Have you identified an owner in your description? Have you identified a countermeasure? Have you identified a vulnerability? Have you identified a threat agent? Have you identified risk? But what was the most important thing when we started the exercise? What did I say to you? The first thing you're going to have to talk when you talk to the owner. You picked it up. What was the first thing I said you're going to have to do? So start off with the owner. What are the assets? And it's your job to fill in the rest. Who are the threat agents? What are the threats? What are the vulnerabilities? What are the countermeasures? And finally, what are the risk? And that's how you do a social technical analysis. Compare and contrast. So the stack here we have something called a threat agent, and in the other model it was called potential offender. Then we had a victim, and that was the owner. Now, we used the concept of opportunity structure, and that was basically the countermeasures and the vulnerabilities in the countermeasures. Now, for example, the law. I'm going to put this at an abstract level just because it's situational. SAS is on strike now, and they are going to refund me my assets. I was supposed to fly back somewhere. are they refunding me what I lost, what I value, or are they just paying back the ticket? Right? This computer, are you trying to secure the computer? Is the asset the computer, or what is the asset in this machine now? It's the information. What is the value of the information, not what is the value of the computer? If I don't fly back, I'm losing X amount of money. Will SAS pay me back on that? No. That means I don't have the right legal and contractual arrangement with the providers to protect the asset I want to protect. Okay. That's what you have on the legal and contractual level. That's why it's called that. So basically, all the stack is a bunch of countermeasures. So if you look at the diagram, all the countermeasures, there are two types of countermeasures. There are social countermeasures, or three. There are social countermeasures, technical countermeasures, and so-called social technical countermeasures. What is the asset in this case? It's the potential victim's data. Now, I use the word data instead of information, but that's something you can point out. So that's an example of what I expect from you to be able to compare and contrast. This is a classic type of exam question. Here's another model, the NSA model. Can you compare and contrast? Because remember, when you're modeling something, the important thing to figure out is what you're going to take away and what you're going to include and why. So good answer is, can compare and contrast the usefulness of this model to deal with problem X? Because a model is not right or wrong, it's more or less useful to deal with the problem. So that's the things you should be doing when you're reading the material. Okay, how is this different? How is this similar? How can I use it? Often it's best to talk about how I can use it or what I'm going to use it for. So this is a model from the a social technical model from the article chapter 1 in the resources. So there's an article I want you to you can read. It describes the social technical requirements of the system. It's the figure 1 from that. And basically, it's saying that there are different systems. As I said before, they defined a social technical system as having hardware, software, human-computer interactions, and then they talk about social technical systems. And they have physical requirements, information requirements, personnel requirements, and organizational communal requirements. Again, same thing. Can you compare and contrast these two models? Now, first off, always ask yourself, this model is being used to explain what and why. So the model on the right is used to explain security systems. The model on the left is used to describe any other type of information system. If you read the article, the model is designed to help do a requirement analysis of a system. Another way of modeling things, and this is from this book, is to use checklists. Now, as you read through the chapters of these books that were assigned, you see that the checklist builds up and they're adding more and more. So if you come in as a security consultant, you should have these checklists in your brain or on paper and say, okay, they don't have a good threat model. They don't have a good asset model. They don't have a good countermeasure model. Because if you're going to deal with the social technical system, you have to put them all together. And that's what this book goes through. It builds up a system of different types of controls and things you should check. And we see how it goes with the questions. I'm always back and forth how I use this book. I'm afraid I talked to the bookstore. Not many of you even ordered this book. Is any okay? Just tell me. I mean, how many people have looked at this book? One. Did you get it from the library? Yeah. Okay. So that, I mean, I, as I say, this is a thinking course. So I mean, you know, saying what's on chapter 3, page 6 is not exactly what you expect from a master's. So I'm going to figure out how I can test you on this book that you read it. And that might imply the exam would be pretty thick, so I give you something from the book. And if you have read it before, what's going to happen, you're just going to answer the question quicker. So if you don't have enough time, that's because you haven't prepared. Okay. So I might have a checklist saying what is missing from this checklist and why. So in this book, what you're looking at is they have different types of... I'm expecting you as a professional to know some of these things, so you should know that MITM, the man in the middle attack, what type of controls and what are best to deal with a man in the middle type of attack. I took away that diagram. So what is the best ways of dealing with a man in the middle attack when it comes to distributing passwords? What is a good social technical control to deal with a man in the middle attack? That's one of the way. Strong authentication. Remember, one of the biggest problems with a man in the middle attack is that the user has no way of authenticating the site. Right? How does he know that the website he's going to is the one? So public key, that's one of the things, but then how are you going to distribute the first initiation of it? Right? What are some of the ways you can deal with that organizationally? So you need a social technical system where there's something above the other ones that you can check with that you trust. You need some point to trust. So you have to model the system as different layers of trust. Right? And you have, in this case, certificate authorities with the public key. Because just having the public key infrastructure from a social tech, just having a public key doesn't work because you still need a meta system. So the answer is right. But from a social technical system, if you're going to model it, you need something above it. If you remember, we said before, I jump to this and jump back. When you have a problem, when I ask you a problem, what are you supposed to do? Look at the system in focus. Look at the system. What did he just do when he said a CA? He looked at the system above. So you have a public key infrastructure, you have a public key system, you have a CA. Has anybody ever tried to put in a hexadecimal key? You have a system below too, right? You know, 512-bit keys are interesting in hexadecimal to put in by hand. System in focus, system above, a system below. That's social technical analysis. Right. I'm going to take a break now because I think, how's the streaming going now? Is it still? It's on. Yeah, it's supposed to start later on. Take a 15-minute break. Okay. Is that? And what I will do is I start hopping to those slides in chapters 1. Lecture 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay. Any questions now? Do Do you understand the gist of the social technical now, that it's a way of thinking about a security problem? That's all. Okay. So I'll come back at, I guess, can you guys think while you're during the break on chapter, you can look at the slides from lecture one, any questions specifically. So I'm going to give you 15 minutes to sort of reflect on those. And not just, is this going to be on the exam? Something you consider important. Or, remember, and I'm announcing this, whatever I have this, if you, in terms of short answer questions, you can propose your own short answer questions. I won't tell if it's going to go in. But you have the opportunity to say, okay, I think this should be a question for the first lecture. So think about how, if you look at the slide material, what sort of short answer question would you ask? See if you can, together as a group of six people, come up with a good question. Short answer, that means it should take 2 to 3 minutes to answer. And it should get you to sort of reflect at a higher level about what the problem is. So think, if you can come up with a question, I come back at 25 after. Okay, think of a question. So I jumped to slide package one, I guess. Yeah. Think of a question. All right? You seem so tired.
You have the opportunity to ask questions. The worst thing is if you get it wrong. Between each other, like, you know. And you can see how the signaling diagram can help too. But often you have to do both. Because the computer people don't, I mean, the signaling diagram, if you work with protocols, we use it all the time.
absolument.